Earlier today, the Trump administration issued a major overhaul to United States asylum policy. According to several immigration policy analysts, the rule change amounts to a near total ban for migrants seeking asylum who have traveled to the U.S. through Mexico. The rule change comes days after Vice President Mike Pence visited migrant detention centers at the U.S.-Mexico border. One was an overcapacity facility holding nearly 400 men who said they hadn't showered in weeks and who were being forced to sleep on concrete floors. The vice president also spoke with a group of migrant children through a translator during his visit.
Are they taking good care of you here?
See?
But while the children there told Vice President Pence they're receiving good care, that interaction hardly tells the whole story. New reporting this weekend from Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting adds another layer to how migrant children are being mistreated across the country under federal agencies. As the number of centers that house unaccompanied minors continues to grow, Reveal found that several organizations that have recently received contracts to house these children have histories of dangerous and unsanitary conditions. Aura Bogado, a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, is on the story, and she joins me now. Thank you for being with us, Aura.
Thanks for having me, Tandina.
So how many of these shelters exist and how many infants and children are in these places right now?
We just found that three new shelters have popped up. They may have been existing shelters that are now taking this new population of unaccompanied minors, or in the case of one home in suburban Modesto, California, there is a home, like a group home that had been shuttered for a few years and then reopened specifically to house pregnant and parenting teens and their babies. We know that one of the babies is just 2 weeks old and was born in the United States and is therefore a U.S. citizen.
One of the shelter systems that you investigated is called Child Crisis Arizona. Tell us about them.
Yeah, we found that there are 12 tender age children there. All the children there are 5 years or younger. One is just 3 months old, was just born in April, and there are no mothers there. I know that I spent a good amount of my weekend trying to figure out where exactly are these moms. I know that people assume that they were separated from their moms, and that makes sense because we know that separations are still happening. We don't know for a fact that that's what happened with all 12 children, but it does seem to point to that. And again, these are really, really, really young babies, literally 3-month-olds. And at Child Crisis, we found nearly 40 inspection violations in the last 3 years alone. For example, not having hot water in order for a worker there to wash their hands after they change a baby's diaper, or a lamp that, is just about to tip over. Things that are not necessarily the most egregious when you think about them in general, but are concerning given the very young age of this particular population of children.
Aura, you mentioned you were trying to find out where the mothers were. Is there any indication where any of these parents are? And if not, how do these children end up in these facilities? And how long are they expected to stay in them?
We're really not sure at this point. It does seem most likely like the children were separated from their moms because we do know that that's happening. It could be that they were separated from another family member who is not a direct parent, but may or may not be a legal guardian, maybe a sibling, an older sibling, an older cousin, a grandmother, perhaps. It's also not impossible that perhaps the child was with another family member or a friend who got picked up by another agency, by ICE, and maybe were then put in this facility while they try to figure out where the parent is, or they may indeed know where the parent is, but the government decided not to give that child back to the parent. We really don't know. We haven't confirmed it at this point. My guess is that we'll have a better idea later this week.
How are these facilities able to secure contracts to do the work that they're doing?
Well, we do know that there is a younger population that has entered the United States in the last year or so. And so there is a need often to house children while the government tries to figure out ultimately where their permanent home in the United States is going to be, or at least their home for the next several months or years as their asylum cases go through the process and are ultimately adjudicated. Sometimes that process takes a really long time. It takes, not just a couple of weeks or even 4 weeks, but it may take 60 days. It may take a lot longer. We know that sometimes children are in these facilities for a very long time. Sometimes they're transferred from one facility to another. Sometimes, as our reporting has also found, they may be taken to a secret facility. We know, about all of these facilities through contracts. I didn't find out about these specifically through contracts at the beginning, but I was able to scour through government records and find, granted awards for these particular places. There are a whole bunch of other places that are basically a collection of psychiatric hospitals and residential treatment centers in which children, sometimes children who have what the government calls special needs, and so disabled children, or children who act out in different ways. And again, keep in mind that these are children who have often been through a great deal of trauma, sometimes have witnessed absolute horrors, and or have been separated from a parent or a loved one. So children may act out. They may kick something. They may, say something very rude. And that behavior can be seen as an escalation and a reason to put a child into a psychiatric facility. There currently is no way to track from the reporter's end or from the public's end where exactly all of these facilities are. We've identified several of them throughout the country.
And are any of these children in these facilities, they're babies in many instances, but do they even have any legal services or access to legal services or advocates inside of these facilities who can facilitate some legal assistance?
There's a federal trafficking law referred to as TVPRA, and that law guarantees legal service providers for any unaccompanied minor, no matter what facility they're in. And what we've found is that in at least one of the emergency shelters, which is in Carrizo Springs in Texas, kids are not receiving that service. Raices, which I'm sure listeners are familiar with, Raices has done this kind of work. They're ready, willing, and able to provide these legal services, even pro bono at this point, and the federal government has not allowed them access. We also found that at Bethany Christian Services Group Home here in Modesto, California, legal service providers didn't have access to the children that are there for at least a week. We're not even positive that the children have access at this point. It looks like that may be the case. But again, this flies in the face of the federal law, which is supposed to provide these kinds of services for children. Raices tells me that tomorrow, on Tuesday, they're going to show up at the gate of Carrizo Springs, that's the emergency shelter in Texas, and demand access in order to provide these services for these children.
Aura Abogado is a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Aura, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tanzina.